message today in this series, and I'm excited about it. By the way, that's not the boat I bought. But if anybody's game, you go ahead. Now, I'm not a big boater guy. I was getting a little scared out there on that water, so I'm a little smaller as my speed. Jesus said, get into the boat. That's our series today, and it's going to be lasting about 6 weeks. Let's move, Rod. We're going to fly. I got good news for you guys. Here it is. Boating's in the Bible. Amen? Boating is in the Bible. Noah's boat, that's a big boat. Then you got Moses' boat, that's a little boat. Then you got Jonah's boat, that's a bad boat. Right there. And then you got James and John's boat, Peter's boat, you got the boat Jesus preached from, you got the boat where Jesus rebuked the sea, you got the boat Jesus entered when he walked on the water. We see in the book of Acts there are several boats. One of my favorite scriptures in the Bible is this one right here. Look at it. Mark 6:45, and straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the boat, or get into the ship. I love that part right there. Get into the boat, amen? And to go to the other side. Keep moving, Ron. So, Jesus constrained the disciples to get into the boat, and that is what we're going to be talking about the next 6 weeks. Our 6 week series, Get Into the Boat. And we're going to begin today. Today's message is the boat you're in. The boat you're in. In case you're here visiting today, the way this works, I write these things out, and then Roger has to decipher my grammar and put it up on the big screen. All right? So that's the deal. So if there's not good flow, you blame it on us. All right? The boat you're in is the title of our message today. The song that we sang. Why do we sing that song? Well, just to have fun, just do something a little different. But you know what? It's all about that Matthew 4:19. That's what that little country preacher preached, Matthew 4:19. And that's where we're going to be today. We're going to be in the book of Matthew chapter 4. We're going to look at that exact scripture that that little country preacher preached in that song. The boat that you're in, our message today is letting Jesus take you from where you are to where you can be. The boat that you're in. The boat that you're in. The place that you are in life. Who you are, what you are, where you are. Jesus Christ wants to meet you right there and take you to where you can be. So that's why we call the message today the boat that you're in. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. If you have your Bibles turned there, or also you can follow along with me on the big screen this morning. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Matthew 4:19, there it is. Verse 20. And they straightway left their nets, and they followed him. And going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother in the ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them. And they what? Say it with me. Come and help me here. And they what?
Immediately.
Left the ship and their father, and they followed him. So the message today is going to have three R's. R-R-R. R-R-R. It's going to have two F's. F-F, fish finder. All right? R-R-R and F-F, fish finder. All right? So you can remember this message. I want you to get it today. I want you to leave here understanding today where we're coming from. The first part of our message today is coming from this passage. Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven's what? At hand. Okay? So the first thing we see was what Jesus was saying. As he was going about, he had just started his ministry. He had just been led away in the wilderness, tempted of the devil, remember? And now he's starting his ministry. And he's going out and he's proclaiming, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. That was his message. Keep moving, Robert. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What does repent mean? And what was Jesus saying? Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He was saying, turn around. That's what the word repent means, by the way. It means stop living the way you're living. Stop thinking the way that you're thinking. Oh, if I do good works, that'll keep me to heaven. Or I went to church when I was a little kid, and that should do. I mean, I got this button from VBS, that'll do. Listen. Or I do good works, or I live this way, or I take this sacrament, or I have this cross, or I did this, or I gave this money, or I wear this suit. Repentance means stop. Turn around. I'm here. He said, repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. His message was basically, repent, I'm here. That's good news, isn't it? That's the good news we have when we share the gospel with people. Repent, he's here. Amen. Repent, he's coming. Repent, he died for you. He loves you. That was his message. Jesus is the King of heaven. That's why his message was that way. Revelation 19:16. He had on his vesture and on his thigh a written, say it with me, a name written, say it with me, King of kings and Lord of lords. So his message was, repent. I'm here. Turn around. I'm right here. And that's what he's saying to you today. Are you hearing me? Jesus is saying to you, don't keep going down that dead end. That dead end that's going to lead to a place called hell. Don't do that. Turn around. Well, I don't understand how you love me, how you died for me. Here's one. I don't understand about all the people in Africa. Would you just stop that mess? Stop that kind of thinking. How could tsunamis happen and there being a loving God? Stop it! Turn around! He's here! What are you going to do? You're going to keep thinking like that? That was his message. Turn around. I'm here. Repent. Next. Reality. Reality. So that was his message. He was going along Galilee and repent. The kingdom of heaven's at hand. But then reality. And that's really where I want to get today. That's where he met them. Did you know that? He met these fishermen. These dirty, smelly, uneducated fishermen. And I'm not saying that just because I want to be ugly to these people of Galilee. But that's what people thought about them. They were fishermen, for crying out loud. They didn't read Pentateuch and do all these fancy things. They were fishermen. What do fishermen do? Somebody tell me. Fish! And he met them right there. Sometimes we think we got to get so cleaned up before God will have anything to do with us. Man, we catch them. Who cleans them? God cleans them. He met them right where they were. Keep moving. Verse 18, Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Where did he meet them? Right where they were. That's where he met them. Verse 21, he went on from there along the seashore. He saw two other brethren, James the son of Zebedee, John his brother, and his ship of Zebedee's father. And what were they doing? They were mending those nets. He met them where? Right there. Let's keep moving. He met them in the real world. He met them in the real world. That's where we're coming from today. I don't know if you're going to get the message, the overtone of it, but Jesus Christ wants to meet you at the boat you're in. Are you understanding? He wants to meet you in the boat that you're in. In the real world. Sometimes religion and these things are so far removed, it's not like part of our life. It doesn't relate to me. Jesus is about a relationship with you. It's not about a religion you can tell everybody you got. He wants to meet you in your real world. He met them where they really lived. They were fishermen. Can you say these 3 points with me? Say them with me. I need a little help up here this morning. Here we go. Number one, they were fishermen. That's who they were. Look at this next one. They were casting nets. That's what they did. They were at the Sea of Galilee. That's where they lived. He met them in their world, in their real world. He met them at the boat they were in. And Jesus Christ wants to meet you there today. He wants to meet you there, just as you are. What's his message? What was his message? Whoever saw that, turn around! I'm here! Follow me! And he meets you right where you live in the real world. See, you and I are without excuse today. He loves you. He came from His world into our world. Amen? Lived. Died on the cross. Rose from the dead for you. The boat you're in. So the first R, repent. That was His message. The second R, reality. That was where He met them. And then this is going to maybe throw us for a little loop, but I want you to listen this morning. Rabbi. Rabbi. That's what Nicodemus called Jesus. Do you remember in John chapter 3? How many remember that? He said, we know you're a rabbi, a teacher sent from God. Okay? So Jesus was going around saying, repent. He wasn't throwing nets. When they looked at Him, they didn't go, look at that Jesus, He's a fisherman. No, when they looked at Him, they said, He's a rabbi. He's a rabbi. Look at Him. Look at, they're doing their net, they're doing their fishing, and look at that rabbi. That's who Jesus was. He was a teacher. He was a rabbi. That's what he meant when he said what he said to them. Let's follow it. Stay with me. Don't lose me now. Let me lose you. He said, I'll be your rabbi. I'll be your rabbi. Keep following. Matthew 4:19. He said unto them, follow me, and I'll make you fish. That's what rabbis said. Rabbis said to those that they were talking to, follow me. Follow me in my teaching. Follow me in what I have to say. He also said this. Matthew 4:21. Going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, James the son of Zebedee, John his brother in the ship, Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he what? He called them. That's what rabbis did. They would call forth people to follow them, to study with them, to learn of them, to take their yoke upon them, to study with them, to be part of their ministry team. So Jesus was rabbi. That's what he meant when he said, follow me! And he called them. He said, come after me! Let's keep moving. He said this. Could you say this with me? Say it with me. I call. Number two, I can teach you. Look at this one. Number three, say it with me. You can do what I can do. Can you say that with me? Come on now. You can do what I do. Can you believe that? Now we're getting in some deeper water here. Hang with me. The Torah. That's the first five books. We call it the Pentateuch. The first five books of the Old Testament. That would be the Torah. And you see that word all? Children in Jewish families who were religious, very religious, their kids would memorize those first five books of the Bible. Word for word. Usually happened before age 12. They would memorize the Torah. Okay? That's what they did. And then, everybody did that. Okay, that came from those religious families. But watch this. The complete Old Testament. Look at that Old Testament you got. Look how thick that thing is. How many books in the Old Testament? Somebody tell me. 30, how many? 9. 39. They would memorize and study, but put to memory the entire Old Testament. So all did this. The best did this. Okay? The best of all of those kids did this under the rabbi. Let's keep moving. The chosen ones. The chosen ones were the best of the best. Who are the best of the best? They're the ones that studied and memorized the Old Testament, and they were the best of the best of those that did that. Now, I'm trying to get you somewhere. Listen to me. Jesus was what? He was a rabbi. He was a rabbi. Alright? And usually, the ones that were called to follow were the best of the best. Usually, the ones that were chosen were the best of the best. We got a problem here in the story. These fishermen were fishermen. Man, if you'd ask them to quote the Torah, they'd go, huh? You want some shrimp? You know what I'm saying? How are you quoting the entire Old Testament? Ask him. You know, can you imagine? Keep moving on. That God, Jesus Christ, rabbi, called Galilean fishermen. It's amazing. That helps us understand why they did what they did. They dropped, buddy, they immediately followed. Let's keep looking. Galilean fishermen. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. This is 3 years after the fact. Jesus now has died. He has resurrected. And he has ascended to the Father. And now they're on their own. And he said the Holy Spirit would come and would comfort them and be their helper. Watch this. Here's these guys. Galilean fishermen. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound of heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Look at it. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire and set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues or other languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man could hear them speak in his own language. Here are Galilean fishermen who can't even speak good Hebrew, who are 3 years after the fact. Now Jesus said, "You follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." And now they're speaking in other languages and sharing the word of God. Verse 7, and they were all amazed. If you can read it with me, help me. And marveled, saying one to another, help me here. Behold, are not all these which speak what? Galileans. This is insanity. These guys can't talk like this. These guys are unlearned fishermen. But Jesus had called them. Matter of fact, in John, I can't remember the reference. Maybe 16. No. Chapter 14, Jesus said, you'll do greater works than I do, guys. Jesus said the Holy Spirit's going to come on you. You'll do greater works than I do. Galileans! These people couldn't believe it, that these Galileans were doing this. How can we hear every man in our own tongue where we were born? A couple other scriptures. When people heard this, they mocked. These men are drunk. They're full of new wine. They can't be speaking like this. It's insanity. We know the Galileans. They don't have any education at all. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said to them, you men of Judea, look at this verse. And all that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken unto my words. What's verse 15? For these are not drunk, dude, as you suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day. It ain't but 9 o'clock in the morning. We don't get wasted by that. Alright? What's my point? I got off just a little bit to make a point. Jesus, Rabbi, he called them. Galilean fishermen, it doesn't make any sense. These guys didn't know, they couldn't speak, they couldn't do. But Jesus said, you can do what I do. You can be the best of the best. You can do this thing. That's what he meant when he called them. Let's keep moving. That's what he means with you today. You might say, what can I do for God? Listen, God's saying to you, be a fisher of men. God's saying to you, call. He's calling you. God's saying to you, follow me. You might say, well, I'm unlearning. Well, join the club. Amen? Say it.
Amen.
Join the club. Well, I don't have this gift. That's a bunch of bull. That's a bunch of excuses. You can be something for God. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But look at it. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world. I qualify to confound the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world. I qualify to confound the things which are mighty. Why? He's chosen the base things of the world. I qualify. And things which are despised have God chosen, yea, and all things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. These guys, Galileans, how did they do it? They were nothing. They did it because God called them. He said, you can do something. Jesus came to the boat where they are. And He said, you don't have to stay here. You don't have to stay in this life. You can be something special. You can do what I do. Are you with me? I hope you're not sleeping yet. Well, no. Hang in here. I'm going to go to sleep if you do it. So what did they do? What did they do? They forsook immediately. When they heard this message, come and follow me. What did they do? What would you do? I mean, if your whole life, you've been nothing but a fisherman. And when the rabbis came by, they didn't give you the time of day. They didn't even look your way. They didn't even care about that because they knew you didn't know anything. You don't know nothing. You don't know the Torah. You don't know the Old Testament. So what did Jesus say? Here's the rabbi. He's coming by. He says, come follow me. I'm calling you. So what did they do? What's the Bible say they did? They what? They forsook how fast? They jumped at the chance, didn't they? I'm telling you today, friend, Jesus Christ loves you today. He died for you. He can give you a home in heaven. He can save you from a burning devil's hell. You ought to jump at the chance. Amen? You ought to jump at the chance today. Christ is calling you. He's saying, turn around. I'm here. Follow me. And He comes to the boat. Aren't you glad He didn't come to that big old fancy boat? Say. He comes to your boat, doesn't He? Say. Isn't that good? Somebody told me this week they went on a cruise, brand new ship, 13 stories high. Boy, my little old boat ain't like that. It's yours. Aren't you glad that Jesus comes to where you live? Aren't you glad for that? Amen. I'm glad Jesus came to a place called Rockingham, North Carolina, and saved my drunk mom and me. I tell you that right now. I'm glad he comes to the boat we're in. They jumped at the chance, friend. They immediately forsook. Keep moving. They left their nets. Move. They straightway left their nets. Next, they left their boat. Bible says that they left their ship. And finally, look, they left their father. They left their family. They left everything to follow who? The rabbi, Jesus Christ. Do you think they knew all about Jesus, yes or no? No, it doesn't make any sense. How would they know all about him? But they made a decision to follow him. They followed Jesus. 4:23-24, Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing all manner of sickness and diseases, all manner of disease among the people. His fame went throughout Syria. They brought unto him sick people that were taken with diseases and torments, and those that were possessed with devils, those which were lunatic, those that had the palsy, and he healed them. Look at it. They followed Jesus. They followed. These guys left everything they did before. They followed Jesus all over Galilee. Look at it. They followed him teaching in the synagogues. They went with him preaching the gospel. They went with him healing sickness and disease. They went with him casting out demons. Can you believe it? I mean, I don't know if we catch the full magnitude of the scriptures. These guys were fishermen. And now they're in the synagogues. Can you imagine what the rabbis and other folks in the synagogues thought when they saw the fishermen walking in? Now, Jesus could handle himself fine, no problem. But these other rascals, can you believe it? They went with him preaching. They were healing people. They were going along with him as he's casting out demons. This is a different line of work, isn't it? Some of you need to know today, Jesus Christ can take you from where you are to where you can be. You might think today, your life's a mess. I have no hope. I know you feel that that's the boat you're in, and that's where Jesus will meet you. He'll meet you right there in that boat. That woman holds in it, it feels like it's going down. He'll get in that thing with you. That's all right. He doesn't want you to pretend that you're somewhere else. He would rather deal with you in your real world. Are you catching the drift of the message today? I hope so. He wants to meet you at the boat that you're in. Then this is sort of the gist of what I want to say. The importance of the men Jesus called. The Lord gave me this, and I just broke my heart. The importance of the men Jesus called. These guys made a difference. They were important to the overall plan of God. These guys. I mean, God is God and Jesus is God, and he could have done it without these guys. But see, he humbled himself. He became a little lower than the angels. He was made in the likeness of men. He relinquished some of his powers and things like that to come to this planet for us. And you know what? I firmly believe he couldn't have done what he did without these men. He couldn't have done what he did without these men. These guys were important to him, and you're important to him today. You might say, what good am I? What can I do? You're important to God. You're important to his overall plan. These guys were important. Watch it. These fishermen were now not only followers, but they were leaders. Can you imagine that? They were coming into these areas, into the synagogue, dealing with the sick, and all these thousands of people that thronged Jesus, and they were leading this ministry. They were helping Jesus with his ministry. It was phenomenal. This had, can you say this with me? This had a profound effect on the people. One more time. Come on, help me here. This had a profound effect on the people. Especially this. Look at it. The common folk. I firmly believe if it would have just been Jesus. Well, he's a rabbi. Yeah, he sounds different than the other ones, but he probably looks similar. But putting these guys with him, Mike, putting these fishermen with him, these common folk, these fishermen, the old rough, callous hands, the old cuts all over. They might even had a cut right here. The way Peter chopped that one guy's ear off, no doubt he was a fighter. You know what I'm saying? He was rough, probably. But that was a draw to the people. Are you following me? That was a draw to the people. They were so important to his ministry. He called them. He said, you can do what I do. You're the best of the best. You can make it, man. This is fantastic. Why? Why would people not generally be drawn to the others? Because their religious leaders always had dressed a certain way. They always had these robes, the little teeny, teeny, teeny things on. They taught a certain way. And for the most part, they were all from a certain family, the tribe of Levi. But Jesus was different. He had come to the boat where these people were. He took real people into the real place and made a real big difference. It was amazing. This was wild. Galilean fishermen chosen to help the rabbi. Go figure. And then just one last statement again. We said it already. But the prevailing thought of the day was the further you got away from Jerusalem, that's grand central religious station, the less serious you took those who were teaching, especially Galileans. And so it's just phenomenal that Jesus Christ chose these people. Do you ever feel that way yourself, saying, how could God love me? Have you ever thought that? How could God love me? I'm nothing. He knows everything. I mean, things I've done that other folks don't know. He knows it all and He loves me. Isn't that phenomenal? He loved these guys. He used them. And guess what? Because He used these guys, these Galileans, He came to the boat they were in. He used these hardened fishermen. People came from all around. Look at it. The Bible says it. Well, we'll just put it up here. They came from Syria. That was north. Okay? North. Worth. Amen. That's close.
Can't read your writing.
All right. Yeah, I knew you can't read my writing. You do really good. So what are we? Let's see what else is going to be up here. They came from Syria. They came from Syria. These are not believers, friend. Even people who weren't Jews. I hear he's got fishermen. I hear fishermen are following. I hear they're the ones leading the thing. Well, let's go and check it out. They felt like they could come. Listen, Decapolis, they came from the 10 cities east and south of Galilee. They came from Jerusalem. What does that mean? Grand, central, religious station. They even came from there. They came from Judea, which was west of the Jordan River. They were coming. Why were they coming? They were coming to hear Jesus, but I am convinced they were coming because of those fishermen. They were coming because of a reason. Here it is. Why did they come? Why did all these people come? Could you say this with me? This is really important to me. They came to Jesus because they thought they could. How many people don't go to church? Because they just don't think they can. They don't think they'll be accepted. What's the number one answer people give for not going to church? I don't have anything to wear. I don't think the fishermen had on fancy clothes, fellas, ladies. You hear me today? These people came because they thought they could. I think that's the most powerful point of this whole message this morning. Jesus called fishermen. He went to their boat, the boat they were in. People that most folks wouldn't give the time of day to, but they were so important to His overall ministry because He was able to reach the whole country because people started to believe, I think I can come too. I think He'll accept me too. He accepted the fishermen. He'll take me. Man, that's good stuff right there. If He had something to do with fishermen, maybe He'll have something to do with me. And they came. Let's keep moving. And we're done this morning. Getting close anyway. Jesus wants you to come and follow Him again. I think your excuses are done for now, friend. What am I? I'm not wise. Good, that's you. I'm base. Good, that's you. I don't have much sense. Good, you just qualified. I can't talk too good. Great! I'm a fighter. Great! Come on! I don't have anything to wear. That's even better! Great! I'm telling you what, I think Englewood could be impacted. The more regular folk we get coming here, the better off our ministry will be. Just regular folk. We need people that come in, they come in these back doors because they think they can. Amen?
Amen.
That's good. Jesus wants you to come and follow Him. Why? Because He's the King. That's why he wants you to follow him, because he's the king. What was his message? Turn around. I'm here. Turn around. I'm here. Repent. The king. Repent. Turn around. The king of heaven said, I'm the king. I'm here. Turn around. I'm here. He wants you to follow. Repent. Turn around. Follow the king. Just a couple of things for you. Jesus is the Son of God. John 14, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. If you're going to follow Jesus, you've got to believe in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Turn around, friend. Follow him. He's God's Son. He paid the price for you. He died on the cross. He rose from the dead. 1 Corinthians, I deliver unto you first of all that which also I received, having Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried. He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Why should I follow Jesus? Because he died and rose from the dead. Why should you follow Jesus? Because he's the only way to heaven. John 14, 6. Jesus said unto them, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Instead of playing games, instead of thinking, well, I did this, I did that. Friend, get with the program. Turn around. He's here. Amen? Follow him. What about all these other roads? What about them? They're dead ends. This is the way right here. Why do I need to repent and follow Jesus? This is pretty important right here, I'd say. Because Jesus forgives sin. Matthew 9. But that they may know the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. 1 John. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. That's why we repent and follow him. Next. Why should I follow Jesus? Because he's the judge. That's pretty important. That's who I want to please, the judge. Amen? For the Father judges no man, but commits it to all judgment to the Son. Verse 27, he's given him authority to execute judgment also because he's the Son of Man. Verse 30, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. You need to follow him because he's the judge.
Amen.
That's why we repent. Come and follow him. He's calling you today. Are you ready to drop those nets? Are you ready to drop those nets today? Are you ready to leave that boat? But wait a minute, my family believes this. They left their father, didn't they? This didn't mean that they didn't still talk to him, love him, care for him. But Dad, this is a different way for us. I've been a fisher of fish, but now I'm going to be a fisher of men, Dad. Okay? Are you ready to drop? Isn't it great that you have that opportunity today? Are you going to do like them, or are you going to fight? No, I ain't going to do that. I'm not going to follow Jesus. I'm not going to believe. These fellas, they dropped and jumped at the chance. Have your sins forgiven? Won't you jump at the chance? Have a home in heaven? Won't you jump at the chance? Have a God that loves you you can pray to? Won't you jump at the chance? That's what they did. He's calling you today. The rabbi, he's calling you. A lot of you don't know anything about the Bible. That's not a slam. That's just the facts. But guess what? He's not saying, have you memorized the first five books? Have you memorized the Old Testament? Do you know the Apostles' Creed? Do you know what has he had? He's calling you.
Amen.
Right where you are, the boat that you're in. He's come to the boat that you're in. He's come to your real world today. You're here in this place today. He's come to your real world. I feel like today that for sure I'm on a mission from the Lord.
Amen.
To tell you today that he loves you right in that old boat you're in. It's your decision. It's your decision today. Forsake and follow. Are you willing to do that? Why? This is important. We're done. Say it with me. Because you can. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? We live in America where we're standing in a public school building and I'm able to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can come to Jesus Christ today. You know why? Because you can. Isn't that good? Oh, don't miss that opportunity. The last thing is this. Jesus Christ can save you because he saved me.
Amen.
Jesus Christ can save you because he saved me. That's where it's there right now. You might say, Pastor, I'm a drunk, alcoholic. Great. So was my mother. And he saved her. She didn't drink another drop after he came into her. Jesus Christ can take you from the boat that you're in, where you are, to where he wants you to be. Are you hearing me today? Could y'all say that when you put that last phrase up? If you're a Christian today, could you say that with me? Go ahead. Tell somebody in this auditorium, go ahead. Jesus Christ can save you because He saved me. Let's tell them one more time. Let's say it out loud one more time. Jesus Christ can save you because He saved me. Are you hearing that in the building today?
Amen.
Did you hear a couple of 300 people today tell you that, friend? If you're here today, say it one more time.
Jesus Christ can save you
because He saved me. Just dirty old fisherman. Amen? Let's stand. Thank you so much. Try to hang in here with me. Let's let the message sink in for a couple of minutes. Please, Karen's coming. Listen to me now. I preached. I don't need to re-preach it. My wife tells me. Sometimes I re-preach it. So I ain't going to re-preach it. Jesus Christ can save you because He saved me. He says, come and follow me. He says, turn around. I'm here. There it is. That's the message today.